Water is uniquely powerful and profound. Water is incredibly destructive and death-dealing. I mean, if you think about unexpected floods that come rushing through mountain areas or massive tsunamis, water can take life in terrible ways. Even a little bit of water can do a whole lot of damage. If you've ever had a leak in your house, just a small leak, then you know how much damage and how expensive that can be. And yet water is also life-giving. Our bodies are mostly made of water, and everything that's on earth depends on water to survive. Water produces our food. Without water, we don't have any plants. Water covers most of the earth's surface, and it regulates temperature and weather. Without water, life is impossible. So it's really no wonder that water has been an important symbol for faith and in different faith traditions over time. And that's certainly true when it comes to Christianity and the new life that we find, the new life that we enjoy, the freedom that we can celebrate in Jesus. And so today we're obviously celebrating baptism with some people who have planned to be baptized, with others who will choose to be baptized a little bit later at the end of our service. And we want to just take a step back and think about, why is it that we do that? Like, why do we do this thing? Because really, if you take a step back and you think about it, like a whole bunch of people getting in a room and watching one person get ducked underwater, and then it's kind of weird. Like, that's not something we just do every day. So we really want to consider, why is it that we choose to be baptized? And what are we doing when we get in that water and when we come back up out of that water? And we want to take some cues from Jesus' baptism, because Jesus was baptized just before he began his public ministry on earth. Jesus went to his cousin, John the Baptist, and asked him to baptize him. So we're going to look at those verses in Matthew chapter 3. If you have an app or a Bible you can open up, you might want to check this out for yourself while we're talking together. We'll start out with John's message. This is John's message, or part of his message, that motivated people to come and be baptized by him out in the Jordan River. John said, "I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who's greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy even to be a slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire." And then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. "I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you," John said, "so why are you coming to me?" But Jesus said, "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." So John agreed to baptize him. And then after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." What a beautiful and simple story that really sets the scene for that moment when Jesus was baptized. And there's something really important we could notice right away. Baptism is always connected with identity. After Jesus was baptized, he received a confirmation, an affirmation of who he was. The Spirit of God descended on him like a dove, and God the Father spoke from heaven, "This is my dearly loved Son. He brings me great joy." Baptism is always connected. Any kind of baptism is connected with a statement of identity, because baptism is an external sign of an internal reality. Baptism is something on the outside that we can see, that we can even participate in, that is witnessing to and speaking to something that's already true on the inside. Baptism, Christian baptism, has its roots in Hebrew practices, in practices from Judaism. John was not the first to baptize. If you read the Old Testament scriptures, the priests who were set apart, the Levites who led God's people in worship, before they took their office as priests, they were baptized. They were baptized again at specific times before important feast days or festivals or sacrifices that they would offer. They even baptized different objects, things that were set aside for sacred use. They were ceremonially cleansed, or they were baptized because they were set apart for something unique. People who were converting to the Jewish faith, so Gentile people who wanted to enter into the covenant that God made with his people, they were baptized as a sign of that new identity and of who they were. During Jesus' day, baptism was happening actually quite a lot. There was a separatist group called the Essenes who lived sort of in desert areas, and they practiced baptism every day. Part of their faith practice in the Jewish faith was every day. They, as part of their ritual and routines, they would be baptized. And then John comes out here, and he goes out to the wilderness area near the Jordan River, and the scriptures tell us that people from all over Judea and Galilee, from a wide region, they came out to John because John was presenting this message of judgment. We read some of those words. And he was telling people, you need to get ready for the kingdom of God because the king is coming. And you want to be in this kingdom and not left out on the outside. And so people were coming to John in the Jordan River, and he was baptizing them. They were experiencing life change. They were experiencing dramatic change in life because of John's message and because of the Holy Spirit working through John. And then John's cousin, Jesus, makes his way to John there somewhere in the wilderness area around the Jordan River, and he wants to be baptized. And doesn't that seem a little unusual if we really think about it? I mean, John even points it out. You know, why are you coming to me for baptism? I'm the one, I mean, I know who you are. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. And for us, I mean, maybe sometimes we might think, you know, it is a little bit of an unusual practice, not just for Jesus, but for anybody. And so today, I want to give you a few reasons. We could probably think of a whole bunch of different reasons that somebody chooses to be baptized or that we decide to be baptized. It's something that I've done as part of my faith. But I want us to remember a few important reasons that we choose to be baptized. We're baptized to publicly identify ourselves with Jesus. This is a statement of our identity. And we're baptized as an important step of following Jesus. And we're baptized because of our faith in Jesus, because of what's already happened inside of our hearts, because of this new life that we've already stepped into. It really is unusual for the Son of God. I mean, think about it. The Son of God came down to earth and was walking around in flesh as a person, truly took on a human nature, and Jesus chose to be baptized by John. Why would he do that? Why would he take that step? Jesus had no sins to repent of. And that was a primary motivation for people who were coming to be baptized by John. They wanted a sign and a symbol of their new life, that they were turning away from this old way of living. Jesus had nothing to turn away from. Why would he come to be baptized by John? And Jesus' response to John in the verses that we read, it causes you to wonder, what was he talking about? Jesus said, I'm coming to you because we must carry out all that God the Father requires, or we must complete or fulfill everything in God's plan. We have to finish and execute all that God the Father has anticipated. We have to carry out all rightness or all righteousness. And that's why I need to be baptized by you. Why did Jesus feel that he needed to be baptized? He had nothing to repent of. He had nothing to turn away from. He had nothing to be forgiven. Jesus' baptism was a powerful statement, not only of his identity as the Son of God, that God the Father and God the Spirit confirmed, but it's a statement of identity with you and me, with all of humanity. Jesus came as God's representative, and he came to identify with all people. When Jesus got in the water, he was identifying with all of the other people who had stepped into the water, with all those who were pursuing baptism, with all those who would need to pursue baptism later on. And in a sense, he was creating a dramatic picture. There's sort of a picture in baptism that when we step into that water, all of our sins have been washed away. It's a beautiful picture. We even sang about it, about being made clean. Just like you shower or clean up or get a bath when you're dirty, the water symbolically is a sign that all of our sins, our shame, our guilt has been washed away. And what's been washed away from us in the water is picked up by Jesus when he steps into the water. He got into the water to identify with us. And we get into the water to identify with him. He stepped into the water kind of to wear the jersey of our team, to say, I'm taking on all that belonged to them, all of their shame, all of their guilt, all of their wrong, all of the judgment that's washed away from them, it's going to stick to me. And when we get into the water, symbolically, we're washing all of that away to be forever identified publicly with Jesus. This is a powerful statement about the team that we're now on, about the kingdom that we are a part of. And this is an important step in following Jesus. In our Christian life, once we've trusted in Jesus, once we've found our way to him in faith, we want to keep steps of following after him. And not all of those steps are easy. Sometimes it's challenging. Jesus, right after his baptism, he stepped out into the desert, into a wilderness area. He didn't eat food for 40 days. He was weak in body and in spirit. And that's when he was tempted by the enemy, by Satan, who came against him and tempted him three times. Do anything, Jesus, to satisfy your cravings, your appetites, your desires. You're hungry, make bread. Do anything, Jesus, to get attention from other people and to demonstrate your popularity. Jump off from the pinnacle of the temple and you'll be saved. You won't die. And then everybody's going to come around you and you're going to be really well-liked and popular. Do anything, Jesus, to make people love you and flock around you. Do anything, Jesus, to grab onto power and hold on to it. Don't give up power and authority like it seems like maybe you've done or you've at least thought about by coming here to earth. Grab on to these kingdoms of the earth. I'll give them all to you. Do anything to maintain your own power, your own authority, your own control, even over other people. And Satan comes to us with the same kinds of temptations. Do anything to satisfy your appetites or your needs or your cravings or what you want. Do anything to make other people like you and flock around you, maybe even feel like they love you. Do anything to grab onto power and use those levers to control and manipulate other people. Not every step of following Jesus that we take is easy. It's challenging. And so to demonstrate this new life that we're committed to, we take a significant step into the water where we are baptized, where we're put underneath the water and then raised up again to new life. And we do this. We do this also because of our faith in Jesus, because of what's already happened in our own heart and in our own life, because of what God has already done in us. There's no magic in the water of baptism. There's not something mystical or mythical that kind of creates you into a new person when you get in the water and then when you come back up out of the water. You just go in dry and you come out wet. The water is not something that's magic. It's not an action that we have to take in order to earn eternal life or in order to make God bless us or to help us solve some kind of a problem. And really, there is nothing we can do in order to earn God's favor or his blessing. There's nothing we can do to grab onto eternal life for ourselves. It doesn't come from, praying a long time and being extremely sincere. It doesn't come from cleaning up our own life. It doesn't come from creating a rigid set of rules that we have to follow. salvation and eternal life and forgiveness that we receive from God, it's not something that we can ever make happen on our own. Baptism is not something that we do by ourselves. Baptism is not something that we do to ourselves. Baptism is done to us by somebody else. Somebody else helps us and puts us down into the water and then raises us up. And it's the same way when we trust in Jesus. Obtaining eternal life and forgiveness and freedom from God, it's not something that we work up on our own through our own discipline or our own will or a decision that we can make or the greatness or sincerity of our faith. Our salvation and eternal life is a gift that we receive from God by faith, through our faith in Jesus. That's what motivates us to be baptized. I want you to see a verse from Romans chapter 6 where the Apostle Paul is describing baptism and he's teaching the Roman believers what baptism is like. Romans 6 verse 4, "We died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." When we are baptized, we are retelling the gospel story. And we're demonstrating our faith in Jesus publicly. We're identifying with Him. We're making a public statement to everybody about what God has done in our lives and about where our faith is at. We're taking an important step to follow after Jesus. And it's all because we've believed Jesus. We've put our trust in Him. It's not just like going down in the water, but it's also kind of like when you fly on an airplane. Like when we fly on an airplane, you rarely ever meet the pilot. You don't meet any of the people who work on the plane, all the mechanics. You don't know any of the engineers who designed the airplane. Very few of us have any idea that there is an equation that determines like what kind of speed you have to get up to achieve thrust and get up off the ground. We couldn't do that math. There's no way we could do that. We just step on the airplane and get on our seat and buckle in, and we trust that the pilot knows what he's doing, that the mechanics have done their job, that somebody was good at math back in eighth grade, and they figured all this stuff out, and we're going to be able to keep flying and stay in the air until our destination. When we come to faith, and by the way, I mean, when you get up, you've never seen anybody. Like, when you're up in the air, they start flapping their arms. Like, you know, you don't do that. You're going to get arrested, you know, or at least meet the air marshal. You can't keep the plane up by flapping your arms. And we can't make our way to heaven or earn eternal life by anything that we do, including being baptized. Our eternal life is a gift that we receive simply by trusting in Jesus. And when we're baptized, we're participating in this gospel story that Jesus died. He laid his life down and he was buried, and we join him. We join him in his death, and then we're raised up to new life, and we join him in new life. And now, every step that we take, we're taking by our faith in Jesus because we've been joined up with him in new life. Water is powerful and profound. It can be destructive and death-dealing, and it can also be life-giving. And we see both of those qualities when we come to baptism because we remember that our old life, our old identity is gone. It's buried. It's buried in that same tomb with Jesus, and it did not get up and walk out of that grave with him. But we've walked into new life, and now every step that we take is a step of faith and in following after him. Now today, in this service, we're celebrating with Jo. We're going to hear her story, a magnificent story of faith and what God has done in her life, and then she'll be baptized. There's also an opportunity, and I want to extend this to anybody, for anyone who wants to follow Jesus in baptism this morning, you can do that. And some of you, you may have come to this worship service, you already know, yes, this is my day to be baptized. Or maybe you thought, I don't know, maybe it's my day to be baptized. This can be your day to make this public declaration of identity in Jesus and of your faith. And so when I pray or while Joe's being baptized, or even during a song after that, you can get up and you can make your way. The room will be a little bit darker than it is now, but you'll see a light shining to your left. This is one time that it's safe to move toward the light. You can walk toward the light in that room. You can have a conversation with people who will ask you some questions about faith and about what baptism is all about. We've got clothes. We have towels to help take care of you. We would love to celebrate this step of publicly identifying with Jesus and expressing gratitude to God for the new life and freedom and forgiveness that he's given you. Jesus, thank you for identifying with us. Thank you for putting the jersey, our jersey, on and joining with humanity and identifying with our failure, with our mistake, with our sin, with our shame, with our guilt, with the judgment that belongs to us. And we praise you even more. We praise you for rising up from that death in order to hold out new life to all of us. We thank you that we get to join you in this new life, and that baptism is this symbol on the outside of what you've done to us on the inside, of how you're remodeling and reshaping us and calling us to follow you in this new life. I'm thankful for the new life that you're breathing into LifePoint Church and into our community and into individual lives and families through Jesus. Oh, today we are praising you and celebrating the new life that you've given us. Amen.